How could the God of heaven love a helpless soul like mine? Why would the great I am send his only son to die? The price he paid for my sin was much too high a cost. But Jesus came and found me and loved me to the cross. He came to me. Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me. Why would he want to come down, leaving heaven's throne? The earth and all within it could have made his glory known. Yet he saw a worthless sinner and redeemed me through his love. I don't have to know the answers, for I'm covered by the blood. He came to me. Blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me. Since the Savior came down and changed my everything, what a joy I've been given. It's a new life I'm living as a child of the King. He came to me. Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he forgave and set this prisoner free. Jesus came down and found me. He came to me.
Amen. I'm glad he did. Amen. Aren't you? Praise the Lord for that. I tell you, that song will stir something in your soul. Amen. I'm glad to have Brother Domley with us today. It's a blessing, not only to know Brother Domley as a preacher, but to know him as a person. He's a man of integrity, and I appreciate his integrity. He's always helped Fellowship Baptist Church. I think this is his seventh year of being with us. I recall the first time that I heard Brother Domley, Pastor BJ and Chuck Short had told some of us men about Brother Domley and said he was a great evangelist, a great preacher, and so we drove to West Virginia to hear him preach, and after hearing him preach, began to contemplate some things, and I began to answer some questions in my mind. You know, he's a Bible preacher, he's a fiery preacher, he preached straight down the line, and that's the way we like it. Amen? Amen. I didn't like it watered down. I like it just preached straight. He preached the truth in love. He answered some questions that I had. He's local church. He's a pure evangelist. His family's in order. And so there was one question that yet needed to be answered. And so I called him up and I said, Brother Domley, I'd like to talk with you about coming to Fellowship Baptist Church and preaching the Word of God to us and schedule a meeting with you. And went down some things with him. And I said, the one thing that I've yet to find out about you, and I'd like to just find out from you personally before I ask you to come, I said, "Are you a Dallas Cowboys fan?" And he said, "Amen, preacher." And I said, "When can you come?" Come on, Brother Domley. Preach the Word of God. I appreciate you, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm thrilled to be here. And it's always good to be where there's a spiritual man of God running the place. Amen. And in spite of some of the other people around here who might be going for something else. But I am excited about being here. What a great crowd. And God gave us a great crowd this morning. I'm excited. It seems like every time I come, there's more rows back. I don't know what you're all going to do next. You're in trouble now. Now comes the building program. Amen. And if that's okay, if God wants to build us out here in the middle of nowhere, that's okay because God gets the glory. And that's what we want. It's not really about us. It is truly all about Jesus Christ. And if we get that one down, we'll be okay. And I'm thrilled to be here with you. Thank you for allowing me to come. I've enjoyed the music. Boy, what? So just you all have some good music here. And both choirs. Of course, I think the younger choir is better than the old choir. But I'm happy to be here. Thank you for coming. Have some of my materials on the back. I'll talk more about those tonight. And so you come back tonight for the great evening service at 6 o'clock. Am I correct on that? 6 o'clock. Be sure that you're here. Don't miss it. I promise you I won't keep you a minute after midnight if you'll come tonight. And we'll have a good time. And so I hope that you do that. Yesterday, I wake up. I was telling a couple of people this. I woke up yesterday morning. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and got ready for my trip. I was about ready to walk out the door to go to the airport at 5 in the morning. And I turned my phone on. And all of a sudden, my phone just starts dinging. It's like ding, 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 ding. I'm thinking, I did not win the jackpot. I know that. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? I've never, as long as I've had a cell phone, never had it just do that. I mean, just constant ding. It's like, what in the world's happening? And so I check it, my flight was canceled, and they'd rescheduled me for a later flight that would have got me in pretty late last night. And fortunately for my status, I called up American Airlines and said, "Can you change cities? Take me over to this city here. I'll fly out of this city." And they worked it out, so I ended up getting in earlier than what I was supposed to get in anyway. So so that was good, and able to watch Alabama win. Amen. You can say amen right there. Somebody say roll tide. Anyway, that's how we say amen down south. Amen. Roll tide. But anyway, but I was able to see that, and so I enjoyed my time already here this week, and looking forward to what God's going to do. Now, a couple of things have got to happen. You've got to come. You got to have a prepared heart. I can come preach what God's given me, but if you're not coming with a listening heart, God won't speak. You've got to have a listening heart. And I hope that's what you were. I hope that this week your desire is this: God, show me something that I need to change. Be careful about asking God that question, because He just might do it. But if you're serious about it, let me tell you something. America needs it. America needs it. And so I hope that you listen this week, and I think that if you do, God will have something for you. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And once you have found it, let's all stand as we read the Word of God this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. We're going to start reading in verse 1 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And verse 1, if you have it, give a good hearty amen. Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan," I love this next phrase, "and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him,
and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. I was reading, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm doing something this morning I don't know if I've ever done. I was reading something yesterday in the scriptures, and it was just so good to me. The Holy Spirit says you need to preach this tomorrow morning. So I was on the airplane flying here. I put this together for this morning. So you're the guinea pig. But I was reading this, and I just about had a fit on the airplane because I saw something. I've always known it's there, but then you start going down through this, and it's like, man, God is good. I mean, God is truly good. And I looked at this story here in verses 4 and 5, and Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, changing garments. Changing garments. I'm not talking about you dressing like me or dressing like the pastor or dressing like the ladies like the pastor's wife. I'm talking a little bit deeper. Talking about your soul. Changing garments. Father, I've been anxious for this time ever since you gave this to me yesterday. Lord, I saw something that, a picture, that is so clear that sometimes I think we read the story and we miss it. And it's right there. God, would you let me help your people? Would you give to them the same thing that you gave to me as I was studying thy word? God, may we walk out of here a changed people, because thy word does the work. Use me simply as a mouthpiece, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The story of chapter 18 is a result of chapter 17. Chapter 17, we all know very well, was a story of Israel was at war with the Philistines. There was a giant that would come out every day and said, I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man that'll come and fight against me. No one would fight until a young boy by the name of David, 17 years of age, came to see his brothers in the war. He came to bring them a care package, and when he heard Goliath come out, David heard that man defy his God, and David said, somebody needs to stand up against this man. And boy, I wish in 2016 we could get some of Christians that had the same courage that David had and would put their agenda aside and put the agenda of God in front of everything else. And David, we know the story. David went against Goliath, and David defeated Goliath. We now come to chapter 18. When this happened, the scripture says in verse 1, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan saw the courage of David, and Jonathan inside of himself, something happened inside of Jonathan that Jonathan says out, that's my type of man. And the Bible says that God knit their souls together. Those two men became, and please don't defile this story here with the modern day agenda, but this was a pure friendship of two men that their souls became knit. They were tight with each other. And only if you have a friend like that would you understand that. There was nothing immoral about it. It was just two men whose heart was knit for the same cause, and they were attracted together because of the cause of God. And we look at the story, and the Bible says that Jonathan, and here comes the sermon. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. Jonathan knew very well what he was doing when he was taking his robe off and gave it to David. That robe that Jonathan wore was the future king. It wasn't just any clothing, preacher. He was wearing the clothes of a prince. He was wearing the clothes of a king. And Jonathan, when he saw David, he says, David, I want to give you something. And he took his clothes off and clothed David, a man who had no royalty, a man who is just of the tribe of just a lowly tribe, a man who was truly that no one else would have, even the preacher didn't even believe in David. Yet Jonathan took his clothes off and put them on David, and David, by wearing those clothes, wow, what in the world happened there? David, by wearing those clothes, was telling everybody, I belong to a king. What an amazing picture. As I read this story, I looked at it, and there's many things, of course, we can get from this story. We could preach on the power of friendship from this story. We could preach on the value of loyalty in this story. We could preach on the power of a promise from the story. But I believe one of the greatest things that you and I could see inside of this story is I see a picture inside of this story, and this picture is a picture of what salvation does for every believer. May I point out some things to you? Let me give you a few statements, and then we're going to go home and eat because I'm very, very hungry right now. But let me just kind of point out some things to you. It says in verse 1 that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. May I say to you this morning that as I look at this picture, I see Jonathan as the Son of God. I see Jonathan as Jesus Christ in heaven. That God, Jesus Christ, looked down from heaven and he loved the world as his own soul. He loved the world and he says, I love this world so much. Is the world deserving of the Savior's love? Absolutely not. Was David deserving of Jonathan's love? Absolutely not. But you see, God doesn't love us because we're worthy of it. God loves us because he chose to love us. His soul is knit to you this morning. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care how deep you've gone into sin, I don't care what sin has done to your life, thank God, there's a God in heaven that looks beyond the facade that we're wearing, and he says, I've got some robes I can put on you if you just allow me to take my robes of righteousness and clothe you with who I am. It says here that Jonathan stripped himself of his robes, of the robe that was upon him. Underline the word stripped and put this beside it. Jesus came to man. Jesus came to man. You see, I find in the scriptures when it says that Jonathan stripped himself of his robes. Get this. Jonathan was saying, I'm willing to leave my position so I can come to you. I find in Philippians 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Listen to me. Jesus said, okay, I'm willing to strip myself of who I am to come down and take on the form of man. Why? Being only one thing could cause Jesus Christ to do this, and that was that he loves you. He loves you. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What would cause Jesus Christ to say, let me take my robes off, let me come down to you? I tell you exactly what it was. It's because he loves you the way you are, and 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 he loves you the way you are. Thank God it was the love of God that caused Jesus Christ to say, I'm willing to strip myself of who I am. Why? Because he loves us. That's not all. He says, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. He says that Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, but notice, and gave it to David. Underline the two words gave it, put beside it, salvation. Salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is something you receive. I tell people often in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Two key words in that verse. One word's wage, the other word is gift. A wage is something you earn. A gift is something you receive that somebody else pays for. Listen to me. God gives us salvation. God tells us in John chapter 10, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Listen to me. Hey, those men did not kill Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me. Just like Jonathan said, I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you who I am. God, Jesus Christ said, hey, I've loved you. My heart is knit to you. I want you saved. He says, I've come now. And he said, I'm willing to strip myself of who I am in heaven to come down and take on the form of man. And he says, I'm willing to give you salvation. Why? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, thank God salvation is a free gift. Listen, any other garment trying to clothe you with righteousness will fail. The garment of works will fail. The garment of baptism will fail. Why? The Bible says you must be born, help me out, again. I believe, I know. I was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So how do you know? Birth certificate. I was born again in Conway, South Carolina. So how do you know? I was there. Listen to me. If you're saved this morning, you will know where you were when you got saved. Because you don't become born again because mom and dad, someone told you about it. They've always said I'm this. No, no. Hey, ye must be what? Born again. If I asked Brother David, I said, hey, where were you when you got born again? Where was it? No wonder you're so dead. But anyway, and you married him. But anyway, if I say to the preacher, "Preacher, where were you when you got saved?" In his home. If I was to go through this congregation, I'm not embarrass anybody. If I was to ask you, "Where were you?" When you got saved. See, you trying to shake my salvation? Not at all, because I can't shake it if you're saved. But I know how it is in the South. Everybody's saved. Come on now, help me out just a little bit. And everybody thinks, "Well, I've always been saved." No, you've not always been saved, because Jesus Christ had to give it to you. And wherever he was when he gave it to you, you know where you were when he gave it to you. That's not all. I love this. He says he stripped himself and gave it to David and his garments. Follow me. Underline the word garments. Put this beside it. Christ, righteousness. Christ, righteousness. When David put on the garments of Jonathan, those weren't his garments. Those were the garments of the king. You see, when we get saved, we're not clothed in our righteousness. We're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because there is no goodness inside of any of us. That's why I get fed up with this Christianity that wants everybody to look at how good we are. Let me tell you something. There's nothing good in Alan Domley, and there's nothing good in Pastor Freeman. Yes, we're men of God, but let me tell you, we're simply sinners saved by the grace of God. We're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Any goodness that we have, it's only because that goodness is because of Jesus Christ. That's where the goodness comes from. St. Corinthians says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in" who? In him. You see, it is not of your righteousness that you're going to heaven. It's of his righteousness. Because he says, "Let me clothe you with my garments." But let's go a step further. And it says that he stripped himself of his garment. Notice this next phrase, "even to his sword." Underline the word sword, put the word of God. Word of God. So how do I know I'm saved? God's word will tell you whether you're saved. Because God's word pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. If every time you read this book, you're not, if something's not happening inside, watch out. I've been reading this book for over 4 decades. And even to this morning, God's word does something in my heart. Listening to you teach, I could have sat there another hour because I was just soaking in what God's word was saying through you. That's why I wonder about Christians at times. They come to church preaching, you know what I'm talking about. They sit there, you hear the truths of the word of God, and it never stirs you. I promise you, when Jonathan gave his sword to David, David's looking and saying, "Wow. Wow. Look whose sword I'm carrying." May I say this morning, look whose sword I'm carrying. I'm not carrying the sword of Alan Domley. I'm not carrying the philosophy of Alan Domley. I carry the sword of God's Word, the King James Bible, God's inspired and preserved Word of God. Hey, it's not my sword that I carry. It's not my sword I proclaim. I proclaim the sword of the Lord to the God's people. And I'm saying God has given you His sword as well. But he didn't stop. It just kept on getting gooder and gooder. I continue to read. And he said, even to his bow. Underline the word bow, puts this beside it, eternal security. My mind went back. And I thought of another bow. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it that I remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. I saw the word bow. My mind went back to the promise of God, that God gave a rainbow as a symbol of his eternal promise. Then my mind jumped over. This is all happening on the airplane. Then my mind jumps over to John chapter 10 and verse 28. And he says, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. He says, my Father which gave, he says, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let me illustrate. Does anybody have I'll give your coins back, but do anybody have just about 5 or 6 coins in your pocket? I just need to borrow them real quick. And preach, I need you just, going to be God a second. Oh, there we are. Good. Everybody's afraid to give coins to an evangelist. I'll get them back to you. Especially when a preacher's up here too. Hold your hand out. Put the other hand over it. Just kind of clench it. This is Jesus Christ. This is God. Follow me. They're the same one. One God. When you got born again, he simply opened it up, put you into the family with the rest. And you're never getting it out. You're not there by yourself. You became a part of the family. Amen. It's not a black, white thing. We're a family. Amen. We're brothers. Amen. Come on now. Amen. You're my sister. Come on now. Hey, I know you got more gray hair than I do. We're brothers. Come on now. That's what happened when you got saved. He says, there's a bow. There's something called eternal security. He says, you were put into our hands. He says, no man. Because you became a part. That's why some of you know where you was when you were born again. But there's a bow. God's promise. You have God's word. God can't go back at his word. You're in there. You're part of the family. Which I'll go back to in a second. So go ahead and sit down. Just keep those coins. I'll get them to you in a second. Then he says he even stripped down to his girdle. What's that? The Holy Spirit.
God says, let me tell you how all this is going to happen. I want to give you a Holy Spirit to empower you. Why? This is where on the airplane it all came together. Look at the next verse. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. Get this. Three statements. Statement number one. Salvation is a gift to serve.
Oh, you're one of those once saved, always saved. That means if you believe that, you're just going to go out and just do. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't get it. David went whithersoever the Lord sent him. Let me tell you something. When you realize everything that God did for you, that he was knit to your soul, and he stripped himself, and he clothed you, and he gave you his word, and he gave you his promise, and he gave you the Holy Spirit, something inside of you, you're going to realize this gift that God gave me, hey, it's a gift to go wherever God wants me to go. I don't understand why people would say, God, I'll do this, but not this. No. When you see that you're wearing the king's clothes, you're going to say, King Jesus, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? Because you're wearing the king's clothes. But may I go a step further? Statement number two. Salvation is the motivation to live holy. Notice, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself, what? Wisely. Go ahead. When you understand whose hands you're in, something should change you that says, I want to please him. Why is it that some of you are trying to please people and things and circumstances that are not holding you? When has the world ever done anything for you? He said, preacher, this Sunday morning, you're supposed to be nice on Sunday morning. I'm just telling what God's word says. Because I'm tired of this little Sunday morning Christianity where I've done my little religious penance. Because when you realize whose family you belong to, that should be your motivation to live holy. I don't live the way I live because I want to be different than everyone else. I live the way I live because what he's done for me is my motivation. The best thank you is not always the word spoken. The best thank you is sometimes just go doing what someone asked you to do. And when God, I'm not going to take you out. When you got saved, and God simply opened himself up. Whoops, sorry, God.
That was beautiful.
And put you in the family. There should be a motivation inside of you. It says, I want to please him. Don't do this, no problem. I know what he did for me. I'm afraid. Thank you, preacher. I got to keep my word. I'm afraid we don't understand royalty. I took a trip to England to preach in England several years ago. While I was there in England, the pastor said to me, he said, Brother Donnelly, would you like to go see the crown jewels? So I'm always about seeing money. We get to the building where the crown jewels are, the crowns, everything that's of value that belongs to the royal family throughout history was in this place. I came to the place. Outside of the doors were men holding machine guns. They were serious about it. I walked inside. Because we live in a Western culture, we just don't understand it. Every king has his own crown. With fabricated just for him. He brought me over to an area where the scepters were. I used to think a scepter was just a little small stick. A scepter stood about this tall. About that thick. Gold. I went to the throne. Saw the throne where the king was supposed to sit. Of course, in England, they've not had a king for a long time, so the throne was empty. But I got news for you. The throne of God is not empty. The throne of God is occupied, and he's there to take your request. Why? Because he, Jesus Christ, said, hey, I gave myself. Hey, that ought to be your motivation, hey, to live a holy life. Which leads me to statement number 3, and I'm done. Salvation is a privilege to help others. When David had those robes and that sword, Saul set him over the men of war. When you get saved, listen to me, position that God gives you, our position has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with our adopted position in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I saw that. I mean, all I could do is chew on it all day long. Because I thought, wow. God was knit to me. Before I ever knew him, he was knit to me. He stripped himself before I ever knew him to come down to me. He gave his garments. He died for our sins so I could have his righteousness. He gives it to us. He gave me a word to back it up. He has a bow, the promise of eternal security. He has a girdle, the power of his Holy Spirit to help us. Let me ask you a question. Are you representing the kingly robes that you're wearing properly? I know. These are manly, these are clothes of men, but your soul, if you're saved, is clothed in his righteousness. are you representing it well? Let me go to your house, sir. Let me check how you've reacted, ma'am. Let me go to your workplace, see how you talk. How about it, teenager? Let me talk to mom and dad. How about it, young people? You've sat here in church and you've listened attentively. How well do you serve the Lord as a child? Are you serving him like a king? If you're not saved this morning, Jesus Christ did all of this for you. For you. It's a gift. You have to receive it. I ask you a question, I'm done. Are you born again? Where were you? He was in his house. He was at a funeral home. I was sitting on my couch. Many of us could testify of where we were when we got saved. Can you? Father, this morning, I don't know why you wanted me to preach this today. Even this morning, I was kind of asking you why. I don't know why. I just know it's a wonderful truth. And yet I'm afraid sometimes we forget what all is involved in salvation. Oh God, this morning, help us to walk worthy of the garments that we wear if we're saved. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I ask a question this morning. Have you represented the clothing that you wear on your soul properly this week? Or have you failed? I wonder who's in here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but there's some things I've done. I'm so ashamed of it. I shouldn't have acted that way. I've kind of marred the testimony of the clothing that I wear. And I'm not saying what we call deep sin, but you know what I'm talking about. Holy Spirit's showing it to you. I wonder who's in here this morning and say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. There's some things I need to change in my life because of what God's done for me. I know there's some things I need to change. And preacher, as you close in prayer, would you remember me in prayer? I needed that reminder this morning. Is there someone like that? Would you slip hand way up high? I see these hands all over. All over. Many hands are raised. You can put them down. Who else is it? You said, I didn't raise my hand with these. I should have, preacher. And as you close in prayer, include me in that prayer. I needed that reminder this morning. There's some things in my life I need to work on because of who I represent. And preacher, I see it. And I see this should be my motivation to live that holy life and to serve him. And preacher, pray for me. I needed that. I have not raised my hand yet, but I should have. Is anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see these hands and this one and this one. Anyone else? And this one right here and this one over here. Many other hands. I ask two last questions. Listen carefully to this one. I wonder if you hear this morning, you say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm 100% sure that my past, present, and future sins have all been paid for. I know if I died right now, my next breath would be in heaven. And by raising my hand, I want to testify. I know where I was when I was born again. If you like that, would you slip your hand way up high? I know where I was when I was born again. Raise your hand real high. Put your hands down. Maybe you couldn't. Maybe you didn't understand the question. Maybe you're just here this morning and say, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. I've played the game long enough. Need to get it settled. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure my next breath would be in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, but it's time that I get born again. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is there someone like that? I won't embarrass you. Just slip your hand up high. I'm not sure if I died right now, my next breath would be in heaven, but I'd like to know that. Is there anyone like that? Just slip your hand up high. God bless you and God bless you. Someone else. Someone else. I'm not sure if I died right now, my next breath would be in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. Who else is it? Who else is it? Just slip your hand up high. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? You've heard the gospel pretty clearly this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I need to get it settled once and for all. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. As soon as I'm done praying, we'll stand our feet, heads be bowed, eyes will be closed. I'm going to ask Christians to leave their seat and come down this old-fashioned altar. and do business with God at this altar with whatever he spoke to your heart about. But if you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I'm just not sure that I'm saved. I have some doubts about this," and would you come down to the front and find myself or the pastor, and we'll have someone take the scriptures and explain this decision to you. Would you take care of it today? Father, you know the needs. Holy Spirit of God, work in this invitation as only you can. For these who are not saved, may this be their day of salvation. For these who are saved, whose hearts you spoke to, God, may we live worthy of the clothing you've clothed us with. Understanding it is not of me or what I do, it's all because of you and what you've done. God bless this invitation as only you can, I ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, everyone standing to their feet. No